Hello and welcome. This is Passionate Nutrition Radio, and I'm your host, Jennifer Adler. I've been a nutritionist for more than a decade, and I'm the founder of Passionate Nutrition, a nutrition practice with 6 locations throughout the greater Puget Sound area. Since beginning my practice, I've helped clients lower their cholesterol, help with depression, treat cancer, reverse diabetes, lose weight, and completely transform their lives with nutrition. Food is medicine, and on Passionate Nutrition Radio, I'll answer your nutritional questions and talk about what foods promote wellness and vitality. And this is a call-in show, so please feel free to reach out to us at any time throughout the show. We welcome any and all questions and stories you'd like to share, and we would love to hear from you. Our call-in number is 425-373-5527, or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-KKNW. That's 5569. So thank you for joining me today. And before we dive in, I wanted to let folks know that I'll be at the Northwest Women's Show at the KKNW table tomorrow, which is Saturday from 1:30 to 2. And if you don't have plans this weekend, the Northwest Women's Show is a fantastic way to spend the day. It's packed with 400 exhibits, there's 50 seminars, there's beauty and spa services. So there's basically something there for every woman. And if you do go, please stop by and say hello. You know, the interesting thing about radio is I'm talking into this microphone, but I don't get to see the listeners like I do clients that I work with or in classes I teach. So I would love to meet you. So today is the first day of March, and even though it's a gray and drizzly day outside, I've officially started seeing some beautiful signs of spring. And in honor of upcoming spring, we'll be talking all about urban gardening and offering up easy, economical tips on how to get more homegrown, fresh food into your diet on a daily basis. And I've invited Dr. Catherine Oldfield, who's a naturopath and owner of West Seattle Natural Medicine, on the show today. And one of the things that I just love about Catherine is that in addition to being an amazing doctor, she's also a foodie. And she's an active fermenter and gardener. And even though she doesn't have chickens now, she's raised chickens in her backyard. She has a CSA delivery that comes to her clinic. I mean, there's just so many things about Catherine that I love. So Catherine, or Dr. Oldfield, excuse me, I should say, thank you so much for joining us today.
I'm so thrilled to be on, Jennifer. Thank you.
And I know that a lot of listeners are really going to benefit from hearing a lot of your knowledge about urban farming and health. But before we get started, can you tell a little bit about your background?
Well, let's see. I'm sitting from home today, actually, on the phone, and I'm looking out over the Olympics, and it's the same view I had as I grew up, growing up in Gig Harbor, where we always had a garden, and we grew up, you know, kind of the country back then, although now I think it's not. And as I grew up, I wanted to be a physician, and realized as I approached applying for medical school that I was really having some conflicts with what type of physician I wanted to be. And then I started studying the medicine of India, China, herbal medicine, and realized that what I wanted to do was study naturopathic medicine. And luckily, being in Seattle, that's where Bastyr University was. So I attended there for 5 years, and I've been in practice now for 12 years in Seattle.
Oh, that's great. And so what areas do you specialize in?
Well, it's really a family practice, and we have 4 doctors, but I really enjoy focusing on nutrition. That's the base of everything. But layering on top of that, I treat women's health, and that could be everything from doing physical exams to treating menopause, hormonal disruptions, and stress, anxiety, insomnia, all that, although that can cut across to men as well. I also specialize in digestive health, and I know that's one of your specialties as well, Jennifer, and that's why I've always enjoyed referring back and forth, because we're really on the same page. I know that I can send patients to you who have digestive complaints, and you're going to, of course, discuss diet, but you're also going to talk about probiotics and live food and all these things that make me excited as well when I talk to my patients.
It's true. We have a good collaborative approach, I think.
I do, too.
And would you say that that's the specialty area of the other doctors that you work with, too? Because do you want to describe a little bit about your clinic?
Right. It's a clinic that there's 4 doctors, like I said, and we all practice differently. One doctor specializes in pediatrics, and that's a really, I think it's a wonderful thing for parents to consider, is having a naturopath attend to your child, either as the primary care or adjunctive. because, again, talking about digestive health, or delving into things like ear infections, chronic infections, having a naturopathic approach, which is going to look at diet, nutrition, sleep, everything, I think, can avoid the use of lots of medication. So we have Dr. Dortero there, and then we have Dr. Ryan Campbell, and he does a lot of family medicine and men's health. He also does some prolotherapy, which is for pain. And then the other doctors and I practice a lot with, like I said, family practice, women's health, digestive issues, a lot of sleep, anxiety disorders, things like that. And I also guide 12-week wellness programs. And I feel like that's really what's going on exciting in my practice right now, because we're taking it a step further and meeting weekly with some patients and kind of, I feel like, transforming their health because we're introducing a whole new way of eating, which is really the approach that I know that you take with your clients as well.
It's true. And for our listeners, can you tell them what prolotherapy is?
Prolotherapy is doing these injections into or near the joint capsules. And it's for like chronic pains, injuries. And I honestly don't know that much about it, but I know that it's to hasten or increase the increase the healing rate.
Okay, wonderful. Well, I'm glad that you shared with people what your specialty areas are, and also your clinic is in West Seattle.
It is wonderful, West Seattle.
Yeah, which is it's such a great area to be in. I mean, it's like a little community in and of itself. But
mm-hmm.
I also know that people travel from great distances to go to your clinic too.
They do.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so when did you first start getting involved in your own food production?
Oh, you would laugh if you saw me in college. I was the one who lived above this coffee shop across from the UW, and I had little pots of tomatoes on my windowsills. You know, just, I didn't know anything about gardening, but I thought, I just had this urge to grow some of my own food. So I would have, you know, like all these scraggly tomato plants with maybe like two tomatoes on them. But I grew up in Gig Harbor, as I said, and we usually had a garden every year, and we grew everything. We had a lot of land and a lot of space for a good family garden. So I always feel like part of my food should come from, in other words, kind of my yard, right? You know, you go out and you can pick some fruit off a fruit tree, or have blueberry bushes, or have a small family garden or an active herb garden. So everywhere I've lived, all over Seattle, and even when I lived abroad in college, I always grew things. Even when I was in Norway, I tried to grow leeks. Just, I feel that urge to plant something and harvest it wherever I am, even if it's in a small location. In West Seattle right now, we have a nice little backyard, and we've set aside, oh gosh, I don't know the square feet, but we've set aside enough for a small family garden.
You know, Catherine, I mean, I've always adored you, but to hear of, or just to have this visual of you in college having these little flower pots in the window growing things just makes my heart go pitter-patter even more.
Thank you.
That's such a sweet visual.
Yes, and it's something that I think when I met my husband connected us, because he would talk about how he would grow little bumper crops of lettuce and try to put it into bags and bring it to his friends down at the college and pub and, you know, try to share what he was growing as well. And when we first moved into a house together in North Seattle, we had a big garden, and that was something that really brought us together.
Great. And so what types of foods are you growing now?
Well, right now, specifically, there's a lot of kale still, and I think, and the berry plants are just starting to bud, but everything's pretty dormant right now. Mm-hmm. I see some garlic coming up and some onion tops, but some of those are left over from last summer. Right now, there's not a lot going on.
You know, but that's one of the things I love about plants like kale, mm-hmm. is that it will even grow in the snow.
I know. I love it. And kale is one of the best superfoods, right? I mean, if we would all eat kale, think of how healthy we'd be.
Exactly. I have a T-shirt that says, eat more kale.
Oh, I want a T-shirt like that. That's perfect.
And, you know, when we think about the energetics of food, too, you know, think of something so hardy and so robust that it can even grow up through the snow. Imagine what kind of resiliency that can give to our bodies.
What a good visual. I know. I love it. I mean, right now, for breakfast this morning, I went out and harvested a couple pieces of the kale and threw it in my Vitamix and made a smoothie. And, I'm just so excited that it's going to be producing even more pretty soon. I think really that's kind of the cornerstone of a good Northwest garden is to think of what grows well here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can really overthink a garden and you can put a lot of work into it. And I think my husband and I have acknowledged we're kind of lazy gardeners. We have to fall back on what's fairly easy because our poor garden gets some neglect at times. So I think of like broccoli, kale, lettuce, tomatoes, you know, things like that that are just so easy to grow in our Northwest summers as being good plants to think of.
You know, and I would never call you or Greg lazy. Two small children, a thriving practice. I mean, the fact that you do have this garden and put so much energy into your food, I think is amazing. What I would call that is not lazy. I would call that just smart.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I think it's just, we are a bit distracted and overworked at times. So I think our garden reflects that where we put a lot of energy into it one weekend and then, you know, we might go camping or forget about it for a while. But that's what's neat about a garden. You can come back and most of the time things have survived. And if they don't, well, we kind of cross that off our list as to what we are willing to plant the next year.
Right. So it has to be hardy and robust to stick around.
It does.
Well, good. Well, actually, it's time for us to take a break. But stay with us. And when we return, we'll hear more from Dr. Catherine Oldfield and learn about urban farming and how it can benefit our health and how she's spending her time planning for spring. And just as a reminder, you're listening to Passionate Nutrition Radio, and you can always find out more about us at passionatenutrition.com.
With the busyness of life, it can be difficult to make sure we're getting the proper nutrition we need every day to be healthy. That can be true for your kids, too. With mealtime tantrums, conflicting schedules, force feedings, and short-order cooking, eating right can seem daunting. Passionate Nutrition offers private consulting and individually tailored nutrition coaching to help you teach your children how to cultivate a healthy relationship with food that will set them up for lifelong healthy eating. Learn simple tips to nourish your child with balanced, creative, and sustainable meal ideas. Their nutritionists clarify misinformation about food to reduce the anxiety surrounding meals so families can connect at mealtimes. We all want the best nutrition possible, and Passionate Nutrition can help you achieve it in a customized way that fits your busy life. I'm Martha Hadley. Passionate Nutrition is helping me, and they can help you too. Learn more at PassionateNutrition.com. With 6 locations and coverage by most insurance plans, that's PassionateNutrition.com.
Wisdom Within is a new talk radio show featuring psychic medium and healer Lindsay Paul and animal intuitive and healer Shauna Fisher. From your lunch break to vacation, from your car to your kitchen, from despair to newfound awareness. Join this enthusiastic duo as they fearlessly tap into the depths of wisdom and help you soar to new heights by answering your ultimate questions. Get your weekly dose of spirituality with a kick of reality rolled into 1 hour. Thursdays at 1 p.m. Get out of your head and tune into your soul.
Every generation needs a voice, and on Mondays at 2 p.m. here on Alternative Talk 1150, Lewis Howard's show, Head of the House, is the voice for the 20s, 30s, and 40s. Head of the House brings education, insight, and information that brings health and healing to the challenges of managing your home, relationships, and your career. Tune in once, and you will be hooked. That's Head of the House every Monday at 2 p.m. here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Get current weather, traffic, and news. Visit 1150kknw.com and stay informed with Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Passionate Nutrition Radio. I'm Jennifer Adler, your host and a nutritionist for more than a decade. I'm here with Dr. Oldfield, a naturopath and owner of West Seattle Natural Medicine. She's been practicing medicine in Washington since 2000, and she's a lovely foodie. So, Catherine, what foods, we were talking about what you're growing, but also tell us anything that you're fermenting right now.
Ooh, let's see. I think we have some cordito going, and I have to defer and say that my husband is the one that's taken that over. We have a crock. I think you and I have the same crock from Germany.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, harsh crock.
Exactly. Fantastic. And we've really settled into, again, because of our busy lifestyle, choosing simplicity, choosing something we can do over and over again. And the two things that we find we do all the time are sauerkraut And then a twist on that, it's called cordito. And it's a mixture of, I believe, cabbage, carrots, peppers. Gosh, I'd have to ask Greg. Things like that. And it's a little spicier and zestier. And it's just fantastic if you ferment it just long enough to be not mushy, but just a bit crispy still.
Oh, that's great. And I love this concept of having fermented foods.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just in the sense of what you were talking about earlier in terms of digestion and getting lots of that healthy bacteria into our systems. And it's a great way, thinking about urban gardening, you know, there's a time of year when you have lots of cabbage going on. What are you going to do with it?
Exactly. And I love that idea of thinking that your garden isn't just to be harvested from and eaten when it's fresh, but try to think of how you can preserve your food to last. And you could do that in many different ways. I mean, obviously fermenting is a really neat way. It transforms it. It makes it something that can last in your fridge or in a cool basement or a cool part of your garage really for a long, long time. You're the one that taught me how to make it and how long it can last. Also, you can dehydrate. We have a dehydrator that I think runs pretty steadily for about a month of the year when we are dehydrating prunes, apricots, apples, pears, extra kale, onions, everything like that that we can, mushrooms that we can use throughout the year. We also freeze a lot of food. And so we have a whole extra freezer in our garage that's full of berries and vegetables and things like that. And I always advise, if you're going to be freezing fruit or berries, to freeze it first on a cookie sheet. And then put that in the freezer so it freezes for a while. So then when you put it in a bag, it doesn't all clump together.
Yeah.
What else do we do? We also can, and I just bought a pressure canner, which I haven't used yet. That would be more for doing low-acid vegetables. But
such
we also
as?
Can jams and things like that.
And what kinds of low-acid vegetables are you canning?
Well, I'm still learning about it, but I'm thinking green beans.
Mm-hmm.
What else would you do?
You know, actually, I'm not such a big canner. I really like to do things, jams, preserves, that type of thing that I'll can. But
mm-hmm.
in general, I think I opt more towards fermentation.
Right. Well, I get it. I mean, it makes sense because then there's more nutrients in it. That's the one mm-hmm. thing that about canning I don't love as much. You know, you're heating it to such a high temp to preserve it, but you're also killing lots of vitamins, aren't you? And any active enzymes or bacteria, obviously.
Sure. The vitamins, the enzymes, I mean, they're not all nutrients or vitamins are going to be diminished, but I think also just the flavor tends to go down a bit
mm-hmm.
with canning.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's so practical. I mean, it works. I guess still I would ferment or else I would also freeze it.
Mm-hmm.
Those are my
mm-hmm.
first go-tos. But, you know, with something like making jams like you're doing, actually to ferment that, that's probably the trickiest area of fermentation, I think, is with fruits because
mm-hmm.
they can get an off flavor really quickly.
Yeah, I've really avoided that. I just love the dried fruit as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we still have some of the Italian prunes, and those are just amazing.
Yum. And I bet this is something that your kids munch on throughout the year.
Right. And that's another thing I wanted to tie this into is, you know, so many kids are either unfamiliar with where food comes from, or they're picky, or they don't participate much in food prep. But I found that, you know, although I still have my kids, obviously, are picky in many ways, growing food makes them want to eat it. If they put that garlic in the ground or they plant, gosh, what would it be? Potatoes last year was really fun. If they do that, digging up those potatoes later is like finding buried treasure. And then they want to run in and scrub them off and cut them up. And then next thing you know, they're eating it. And kale, if I send Nora out to harvest kale, she'll chop it up and then Carter eats the whole kale salad. And so having them participate that in this is really neat. They love the dried fruit, and then I feel more comfortable with them eating that because I haven't added any sweetened fruit juice, anything like that. It's just the whole fruit.
Oh, that's such a great idea, and you're absolutely right. Getting kids involved just makes a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
And going back to the kale that you picked this morning, what did you put in your smoothie?
Let's see. I put some protein powder, some soy milk, some frozen pineapple, not from my garden, obviously, from Trader Joe's, and kale.
Oh, that sounds really good.
It was good.
Except
it's very green.
It's very green. Yeah, that's probably not when. Will the kids drink that?
No, okay. They won't. To be honest, they won't.
Yeah, it's too green. I think sometimes if you add things like blueberries or cherries, something that's really dark in color, or blackberries, if you leave the seeds at the bottom, a lot of times kids will be more apt to eat it.
I agree. I agree.
And if you were to estimate, just for our listeners, I know you mentioned that you're living in West Seattle and you have a beautiful view. How big is your yard or the area that you're growing food in?
You know,
if you
it's
were just
not that big.
Estimate.
I think it's about 10 to 15 feet by 25, 30 feet, and then intermingled in the rest of the yard in the plantings, I've thrown a bunch of little blueberry bushes and strawberry plants and things like that. So it's not a lot of space, but if you concentrate what you're planting, like if you do a whole big patch of kale, if you do a few rows of lettuce, if you could pop in like 5 to 10 tomato plants, and then this is where we're still striving to become better with our planning. But then when, let's say, the first round of lettuce is gone, you already have some seedlings ready, or you're ready to get your next round going. But even with that, I mean, that feeds us a lot. It's amazing.
Yeah, and that's what I love. I mean, you live in a neighborhood. You have neighbors close by. In fact, isn't it that Nora, your daughter, can talk with her close friend, the neighbor, through the windows?
Oh, yeah. The houses are really close together.
Yeah.
And we just, you know, squeeze out a little patch wherever we are. We find that you don't need much. In our last house in Ravenna, we took our front yard out as far as the grass, and we put in a garden there. And by the time we moved out, many of our neighbors on the block had done the same thing. And, you know, that really also, again, to go back to this idea of digging your hands in the soil, and I guess I didn't lead into this that much, but I like the other things that come from gardening. I feel connected to the earth. I'm outside. I'm chatting with my neighbors. I'm in the sun or the rain. And I just feel more connected to everybody in my neighborhood when I'm also just outside digging in the yard. It's very calming for me.
Oh, that's a beautiful way to look at it. And, you know, I recently had an experience. So I hired a receptionist. And really, I was going through these different interviews, and all I really wanted to ask each person was, give me a typical day of what you eat. Because that could tell me, that's pretty much everything I needed to know. Because, you know, working with people so much and hearing what they eat, I know so much about them just in that context.
That's so funny.
And, of course, I didn't ask that because I knew I would just come off so weird and they wouldn't want to work with me. But the woman that I ended up hiring, she ended up coming in for a nutrition consult. And so we were going through a typical day for her, and she was talking about how she gardens and how she likes to go into the yard and pick this food, because this food was, you know, she was putting herself into the soil, and then the soil was giving back to her through this food. And I just had this moment of, oh, you know, I made the absolute perfect decision.
You did.
Just with that connection that she had, and more like how her relationship with food came up.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I was meaning by that, it's not looking at what somebody's eating in terms of perfection, but more in terms of that relationship piece with food. And I really hear that with you, Catherine, with your gardening, that it's so much deeper.
It is.
And why do you take so much time to be involved in your food production? What are other things that it means to you?
Well, I mean, it's so multifactorial. It's true. Part of it's just control. I like to know where my food comes from. I like to know what's been sprayed on it, how far it's been transported, all that stuff. And so I think that having a garden in your yard is, you know, really fantastic. Obviously, in the city, sometimes soil quality is an issue, and you might want to do raised beds to, in case there's lead in the soil, anything like that from, you know, the time before unleaded gas or, you know, any sort of contaminants. But that can all be remedied. You know, you just need to, if you don't know how to do that yourself, you can call and get some help from all the different garden hotlines and tips around the city. But also I like to just also feel the seasonal pull of different foods. You know, I like to be aware that you just can't always have one vegetable or one fruit all year long. It feels nice to have kind of a bumper crop and then let that go for a while and have a different type of food for the next season. And I just like to, I think it's just also one of my outlets. I, like I said, it makes me feel calm, and it's something to connect me to the earth and to garden. But I also really like having the CSA, the drop-off from the farm, because that's a farm that's down near Olympia called Helsing Junction. And, you know, that food was picked the day before or that morning before it was driven up to Seattle, and that is gorgeous food. Mm-hmm. And that's local food, and that's really fun to have. Talk with the people when they come to pick up their boxes and find out what they're planning on making with the food and how they feel connected to the farm. It's a way for us city folk to feel connected to farms.
And that visual is just so beautiful to me, to think of a naturopathic office or a doctor's office with all these doctors, and you have the CSA drop-off where you come into the waiting room and there's just boxes and boxes of produce.
I know.
In my mind, that is just the ideal doctor's office.
It's really neat because, you know, we do sell a lot of nutritional supplements, and I like to circle around to remind people that, you know, really is about the food and you know, look at these boxes that are just bulging by midsummer with amazing produce. But, you know, another thing you can do when you live in the city is, even if you don't have room to have a garden, is you can go gleaning food or go finding herbs. So, for example, gosh, what month would that be? Is it like April, May, when the nettles are out?
Yeah, actually, and sometimes it all depends on the temperature. Sometimes,
oh, okay.
I'm hoping, actually, because I'm teaching a wild foraging class for Bastyr students in a few weeks, so I'm hoping that we get some early nettle going on, which I think we will. It depends on how warm it is.
Right.
But you can get some in March, too.
Okay, yeah, because I couldn't remember when we went down to Enumclaw with the family last year for a big party, and next thing you know, I was like, oh wow, look at all those nettles in your yard. And so I borrowed some gloves and some scissors and filled up a couple garbage bags full of nettles and came home and put those in our dehydrator, and now I have bags of nettle tea. And then when we have neighbors or friends or family that have bumper crops of fruit trees, you know, never hesitate to take a bag home if people are offering it, because that's something you could also make into jam or dehydrate, and then you've got some extra food.
Oh, that's such great advice. And actually, it's time for us to take a quick break, but stay tuned, because when we return, we'll learn more about Dr. Oldfield's garden and get some easy tips for growing our own food. And also, I'd love to talk more about nettles. Catherine just touched on something near and dear to my heart. And please feel free to call in at any time with questions throughout the show. Our call-in number is 425-373-5527. Or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-KKNW. That's 5569. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear about your urban gardening stories, and we'll be right back.
Now I'm a farmer, and I'm digging, 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 digging. Now I'm a farmer, and I'm digging, 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 digging.
Does losing weight feel like a never-ending battle that you just can't win? Or maybe you really just want to eat better, have more energy, and improve your health? Well, now you can do it all. And your office visits may likely be covered by your health insurance. Passionate Nutrition will help you lose weight and look and feel fantastic. It's time for a new dieting approach, not a battle. One that's sustainable, realistic, and good for you. Passionate Nutrition is a custom nutrition-based program from Seattle nutritionist Jennifer Adler, a nationally recognized nutrition consultant for ABC Nightline. Jennifer has designed this breakthrough concept in nutrition and health. No gimmicks, no expensive supplements, or cardboard-tasting food. Nutrition counseling that creates a custom-tailored success plan using fresh foods and easy-to-prepare, tasty meals. Don't try to go it alone. Passionate Nutrition's follow-up sessions will help you achieve long-term success. 6 convenient Puget Sound locations and coverage by most insurance plans. Passionate Nutrition offers affordable and realistic health and weight loss. Go to PassionateNutrition.com. PassionateNutrition.com. Passionate about you.
Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair discusses issues that are important to you, like good health and well-being, finding a new job and building your business, overcoming life's big challenges and making sense out of chaos, and living with passion and joy. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for show schedule and guest information.
Who is Jopra?
What is Jopra?
When is Jopra?
Joe Janot is the host of a brand new show called Jopra. Joe has been nicknamed Jopra by his friends and colleagues who find his advice and insight to be enlightening, just like a certain other talk show host of world renown. Born and raised in Seattle, independent-minded Joe Janot is bringing issues to the airwaves that make you ponder, laugh, and deliberate. The Jopra show is about the ins and outs of food and drink, relationships, entertainment, and so much more. Get to know Jopra every Thursday at 2, right here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Talk radio with a difference. Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
When you grow what I grow.
Welcome back. You're listening to Passionate Nutrition Radio. I'm Jennifer Adler, your host and nutritionist for more than a decade. I'm here with Dr. Catherine Oldfield, a naturopath and owner of West Seattle Natural Medicine. Catherine, thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome. I'm so thrilled. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. So before we took the break, you started to talk about nettle.
Yes.
And I just wanted to take a moment to share with people how amazing nettle is. Now, many of you probably know about nettle because you've ran into it when you were a kid or gotten stung by stinging nettle, but what great revenge to think of eating nettle. So, and it's such an amazing powerhouse. So earlier, Dr. Oldfield and I were discussing kale, what a powerhouse food kale is. And if we compare nettle to kale, it makes kale look like iceberg lettuce in the sense that, let's just take one example nutrient. So one cup of kale has about 206 milligrams of calcium. And that's one of the things that kale is really known for, is its high calcium content. So if you take one cup of nettle, it's about 2,900 milligrams of calcium, which is amazing. I mean, what a huge jump. So what Dr. Oldfield was describing as far as she was gathering the nettle and then she dehydrated in her dehydrator, now you can add this to your food. So what types of things have you added it to, Dr. Oldfield?
Well, mainly I make tea, so I wanted to ask you how much calcium or minerals you'd glean from that, because I'm always talking to my perimenopausal and postmenopausal women about drinking lots of nettle teas. Plus, I recommend it for all my patients who have allergies. Mm-hmm. But a funny story about Molly Gray, who used to work with us, she worked and did the pediatrics, is she would make nettle pesto. But one time she made it too fresh.
Oh, no.
And her husband really reacted to it. So there seems to be something that calms down the irritants when you either dehydrate it or cook it. So I'd love for you to talk a little bit more about that, because I feel still a little limited in how I'm using it.
Okay. Yeah, you're absolutely right. So if you dry it, if you dehydrate it, or if you cook it, that takes away the stinging component of the nettle. And so if you're doing a tea, actually, you're not going to get that much nutrition from it. And the reason that is because nettle, what we're mostly looking for is the minerals. And the minerals are behind the cell walls of the plant. So the cell walls are really tough. So if we steep it like a tea, like where it's like 5 to 10 minutes, we're not going to get a whole lot. I mean, we'll get some. But if what you do is you make an infusion from it where you let the nettle steep anywhere from 4 to 12 hours. And the great thing about this, I love how user-friendly it is, because actually you get a lot more even if you steep it in room temperature or cold water, like meaning you don't have to heat it up.
Right, right. Just put it in a mason jar and let it sit on your counter.
Exactly, or a French press. And so if you let that steep anywhere from 4 to 12 hours, and if you use, so the ratio would be one cup of nettle, which is the same as an ounce, in a liter of water, or 32 ounces, actually you end up extracting the amount of minerals that we were talking about earlier. So the calcium would be closer to 2,900 milligrams.
Oh my goodness, that's amazing.
Yeah, so it's really, you have to let it steep long enough where the cell walls get broken open so you're able to get the minerals out.
So you don't have to macerate it or anything, it's just
no.
the length of actually sitting and steeping.
Exactly, that's what breaks down those cell walls. So it's just, it's amazing. And I know I had a client that figured it out one time, because I recommend this all the time. And she figured out if you bought a large bag of nettle at PCC, it ended up being about 60 cents a day for a cup, because it seems like it's going to be so much.
Right.
Yeah. And you can also add it into foods, like you would oregano, just add it in as a spice. Actually, you can get away, or an herb, I should say, Children oftentimes don't notice that their chili has a bunch of green flecks that just look like oregano in there.
So here's a question for you. And this, I don't know if it, how about if I made that tea the faster way that I've been making it before I start steeping it, and then I somehow used the leftover nettles after I'd steeped it, would I still get any nutrition benefit from it?
Sure. If you're just making a quick tea, but then you save the nettle and then let it be a long infusion, absolutely. Because when you do the tea, you're not going to get that much of that time. So I would go ahead and save it for later.
Okay. Now, I could have clients maybe even make it in a larger container in their fridge and let it sit, maybe almost one of those like sun tea containers. And
exactly. And actually, you can just let the nettle sit in the sun tea jar, and then you just use the spigot at the bottom, and the nettle just goes from the top, and it kind of works its way down.
And then just toss out the nettles every few days or something?
Well, actually, I would just wait till the nettle gets to the bottom, and you need to rinse out the jar.
Right. Oh, that's so easy.
Yeah, and actually, so then the nettle, you know, if it does go bad, because the nettle infusion, at some point, it will get cloudy and not taste very good. But at that point, if you give it to your plants or if you were to put it in your garden, I mean, plants just love it.
That's a great idea.
And actually, even after I would make the infusion with my dog, Molly, who lived to be about 16 years old, one of the things I would do with her is I'd make my infusion and then I would mix in the spent nettle in her food. And she really liked it. Now, I don't know how common that is, but I know that she really did.
What a great thought. Do you have any other tips for that? I mean, I know you're interviewing me, but now I kind of want to turn on you. I'm thinking of things we can talk about that we use in our household, because I'm thinking one thing I do is I always cook beans and I add kombu, and then later I add the kombu back to the garden.
Right.
So there's certain things I just always circle back to the garden that I've either gotten from the garden or put back in for added minerals.
I love that. So, and actually seaweed or nettle. And for those of you listening, kombu is a form of seaweed that Dr. Oldfield is talking about. But you could do the same thing with the nettle, is just put that back into the earth, and you're getting you're going to get more nutrients in there, in your soil.
Right. Right. Good thought.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing, too, is, I mean, nettle can get added to just about anything. Actually, earlier today, I was talking with somebody about their daughter had become vegetarian, and she was concerned about getting enough calcium. And we talked about just adding nettle to everything. So whether it's a soup, a stew, beans, I mean, a stir fry, pretty much anything that has a strong enough flavor or sauce, you can just throw a handful of nettle in there.
And you'll get the calcium from it when it's cooked in ways like that.
Yeah, you're not going to get quite as much because it's still a pretty tough plant. But when it gets cooked, that helps break it down and you get more of the nutrition.
Right, right.
Yeah. Now, going back in time, I know that you used to have chickens.
Yes, good memory.
So, how was it having chickens in the city?
Well, you know, I think it was a blast, and I would do it again. It's just that that is one of those things we've had to put aside right now just because we're so busy. But it was really fun. It was fun to get the chicks and, you know, have them under the little heat lamp for a while till they were big enough to put outside. And then, you know, I can't remember the span now, but pretty soon they were laying eggs. And those eggs, if you cracked those open and compared it to a store-bought egg, even the fancy Omega eggs from PCC, the yolk was gorgeous, like this vivid, vivid orange compared to a yellow. Mm-hmm. And each egg looked different. They had different colors. And, you know, we were fed pretty well by, I think, our city limit of whatever, I think it was three hens. And it was fantastic. We had a blast with that. And then when we moved from Ravenna, we gave our hens to the ladies next door that we'd named them after anyways, Carolyn and Constance. So,
oh, that's so sweet.
I don't know how they're doing now, but they're probably still alive and thriving. That was just a couple of years ago.
And what did you feed your chickens?
Well, just like I'm deferring on the sauerkraut, my husband took care of that. But I know it was some sort of organic feed he bought. And then we would just, again, circling around the gardening, because we always had a garden. We always were eating our fresh vegetables, and we just throw the remnants of all the vegetables out into the chicken coop, and then we would get to benefit from their nutrition by eating those eggs. It really felt like a cool full circle chain of life and nutrition in our life.
Oh, and, sounds like it.
And they were fun. You know, they're really cute birds. They're pretty friendly. They come up and eat anything from you, obviously. and then you can let them out in your yard for short periods of time, and they'll just run around eating all these bugs and chasing after things, but then they'll also eat all your plants.
And how many eggs? Do you remember what a typical chicken lays, like in a day or a week?
I feel like it was, at peak season, peak production, it was almost an egg a day.
Mm-hmm.
We had a lot of eggs.
Right. Well, and what a great economical protein source to have. And also, like what you were saying, where it really closes that loop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because they would eat anything. And we would throw in extra flax meal and things like that for more omega-3 fatty acids.
And are there any other farm animals that you've had or that you want to have? Because I know the great thing about living in the city of Seattle is we actually have a lot more options than we tend to think of. We can have a small little farm in the city.
I know. I think we can have little goats and things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that would be really fun. It's not practical in my life right now, but that would be really fun.
Mm-hmm.
And so, no, I haven't had anything else, and I'm not sure if we will in the near future, but I could see us having chickens again at some point.
Yeah.
I think it's really neat. The West Seattle Nursery has a chicken coop that they model in the middle of the nursery, and people can contract with the carpenter who makes those, and you can make chicken coops. I think you can make chicken tractors, and you can do all sorts of neat things. I love that there is this spark of interest in Seattle in circling back and having little kitchen gardens and considering farm animals and having this idea that you know where your food is coming from. Oh, actually, there is something that we're thinking about behind the clinic, because we have a big flat area of land that my husband has turned into a little mini orchard behind the clinic. And we're thinking of contracting with one of those companies that brings you a beehive. And
ooh,
the honeybees sit in the middle of your area pollinating, so it's beneficial to you and your plants. And then I think I read somewhere, I can't remember, it's a place in Ballard. Then they come and tend to the bees, so you don't even have to touch them. And then they harvest all the honey, and then they give you some honey at the end of the season. In exchange, you get pollinators. I think that's really neat.
That is amazing that we have those resources here. I love it.
I know. So hopefully I'll do that soon. That is something that sounds like a doable, low-maintenance project, because someone else will be tending it, and it will benefit our little orchard, because, you know, that is an issue, is you need to have pollinators and enough trees around to make all this work.
It's true. Now, it's time for us to take a quick break, and stay tuned, and when we return, Dr. Oldfield will share some more valuable tips on gardening, and we'll probably talk more about fermenting. And as always, please feel free to call in with any questions or any stories that you have to share throughout this show. Our number is 425-373-5527, or it's toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-KKNW. That's 5569. We'll be right back.
Passionate Nutrition offers a whole food and whole person approach to your health and wellness. Whether you're struggling with extra weight, low energy, or just want to feel your absolute best, Jennifer Adler and her Passionate Nutrition team are trained to help you every step of the way, from cooking to nutrition counseling. Located in 6 locations throughout the greater Seattle area, Passionate Nutrition has an office that's close to you. Visit PassionateNutrition.com to learn more about the nutrition services they provide, or give them a call at 206-595-0376.
Are you eco-conscious? What about being humane conscious too? Choosing to live humanely includes buying cruelty-free products, learning where our food comes from, and how animals are treated. On Living Humane, we explore how our choices for humane living are ever expanding. Join us this week on Sunday at 2 p.m. for a very special Ask the Vegan call-in show with our friends from the Northwest Animal Rights Network. Remember, Sunday at 2 p.m. on Living Humane.
Hi, I'm Pat Pauley. Tune into my show, Get Active, each Tuesday at 12 noon on Alternative Talk 1150. Each week, we invite a guest to talk about one of the wonderful activities in the Puget Sound region, ones that you may want to participate in. We'll focus on how adult beginners can comfortably get into all of these activities. You'll learn a lot about how you can get active. Be sure to listen. That's Get Active with me, Pat Pauley, at 12 noon each Tuesday on Alternative Talk 1150.
Don't touch that dial. You might miss something life-changing. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Passionate Nutrition Radio. I'm Jennifer Adler, your host and a nutritionist for more than a decade. I'm here with Dr. Catherine Oldfield, a naturopath and owner of West Seattle Natural Medicine. So, Dr. Oldfield, what do you think the health benefits are of eating freshly picked food? I mean, do you think that the nutritional value really goes down that much when it gets transported a lot more?
You know, I don't know that much about, like, the percentages it goes down, but I do feel like how could you not feel like something that was alive and growing maybe 5 minutes before you cut it up and throw it in a salad? It just feels like it should be way more nutrient dense. And what I always love is talking to you before when we've looked at like carrots that are kind of gnarled and bent, is you always say that feels like maybe it is that there's more nutrients if they've had to kind of work hard to grow and push through the soil. And so I just feel amazing when I'm eating food from our yard. And I'm just such a big fan of kale. I know I always circle back to that. It's the easiest thing in the world to grow, and it's such a powerhouse. And then the berries are just amazing as well.
And I'm so glad you bring up that point about the more on the energetic level of foods, but actually it's not even energetic now that I think about it. There's actually research behind this in terms of when you do have a plant, like say an organic plant in the garden, because it has to work so much harder, you know, for survival, that's actually what creates more antioxidants in the plant.
Right, and Greg just said that stressed grapes make better wine. So, mm-hmm. You know, it's all, we should all be growing things and
stressing them out.
Yeah, stressing them out a little bit. Rather than us being stressed out, let our plants be a little stressed out, right?
Right, well, it just seems like there's this, whenever a food has that perseverance, just like when people have overcome adversity and then they've persevered, you know, how they tend to have more character and be more interesting. I mean, that's true with our food as well.
I agree.
And it does create more things like antioxidants. I know that was a huge mind shift for me because I used to think to myself, oh, the antioxidants are there for us. You know, they're there for our health and our cells. And I remember when I realized, no, it's there to protect the plant. It has nothing to do with me.
Right. And you're just privileged enough to be able to eat it.
Yeah. I remember how I thought, wow, I'm so self-centered. I can't believe that's what I used to think.
Well, we think everything is humans, that everything's on this earth just for us. We tend to have that idea.
It's true. And actually going back, I'm thinking about my days of teaching food science. I mean, there are certain nutrients, especially like vitamin C, for example, that's very, very fragile. And so even a day or two or a few days after being picked, the vitamin C levels go down exponentially.
Wow.
So the way that your family is eating its food freshly picked or even from your CSA, you're really maximizing on that.
And I feel passionate enough about that to even go far for my food to have it fresh. Like once a year we drive over to this farm outside of Vantage, Washington. I don't know what that would be, like about a 2 or 3 hour drive, and we fill up the entire car. We get like 400 pounds of fruit and we drive home. We pick it all, and then over the next couple weeks we eat it, store it, freeze it, dehydrate it, because I feel like it's local, it's fresh, and there has to be more nutrients than that.
Absolutely. You know, I just want to remind our listeners, Dr. Oldfield has a thriving, very busy practice. They have two small children. They're incredibly involved in the community and volunteering at their children's school and having a social life and taking vacations. And she's doing all this. I want to put it in perspective because a lot of times we feel like, oh, I just really don't have time for that.
Right.
Yeah. Now, do you have any advice that you want to share with people if they want to grow more fresh food, but they don't really have the space? Like, kind of examples maybe of how, even when you lived in the apartment, anything you would share with people?
Right. I mean, I think that there's resources like Seattle Tilth and different places that can help you start just like a teeny weeny garden if you want to, just a few pots. Maybe you just want to have herbs that are fresh instead of going to the store and buying, you know, little packages of basil for $3 to $5 in plastic. You could have a basil plant outside or a little herb garden. And then you don't need much space to do a little raised bed and maybe, again, something that's hearty like kale, throw that in. I think you could take baby steps. There's so many resources out there for gardening classes, gardening tips. I think at many of the farmers markets they have, expert gardeners or...
Master gardeners.
Master gardeners that answer questions. And, I mean, my vision, if I weren't so busy doing other things, maybe I'll do this in my retirement, is, like, I would think my goal would be that every family would be growing something. Just that, the impact. Can you imagine if everybody just grew a little something, how that could impact their family's health, impact the amount of food that needs to be transported place to place in the world? That just blows me away to think if everybody had a little, kind of like in the days of, more challenge, like a victory garden.
Right. And that's such a beautiful concept. And it is true, that ripple effect, even from growing just one thing in the house. I mean, imagine, like you were bringing up earlier with children, you know, if they just saw that one thing growing,
yeah,
they would have a very different perspective on food and where it does come from.
Like something like peas in early spring. Those are so easy to grow.
Oh, and kids love to eat that right off. I mean, they'll...
Exactly.
Yeah, they love that fresh.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're thinking about this, I mean, I can see you starting this revolution of everybody to have one thing that they're growing. Any top things that come to mind? It sounds like peas and kale.
Right, I think peas and kale. We've been thrilled with our potatoes lately because they are just so easy to throw them in the dirt and forget about them. As soon as they start to poke their little leaves up, you bury them again until you have a mound, and then you dig down and have a ton of potatoes. Onions, garlic, definitely the kales and the lettuces. They're just so easy to grow around here. And like I said, you don't need much space.
And, you know, for some reason, I feel like I've always struggled with basil. I mean,
mm-hmm.
How easy is that to grow here? Am I just...
I think actually everyone struggles with basil. Sometimes we do really well, but we rarely grow it from seed. We usually buy a little plant and just have a couple that we grow and then turn it into pesto pretty fast. It's actually not the easiest one for us either. What we really like are buying small little tomato starters and throwing those out because, you know, nothing compares to homegrown tomatoes compared to store-bought ones.
Oh, it's like night and day.
Right. And then what we do is we cut those in half, drizzle them with, turn them face up on a cookie sheet with some parchment paper, drizzle olive oil and a bunch of herbs and salt on them and roast them until they just get all soft and mushy and shriveled up, and then throw them in freezer bags and have frozen roasted tomatoes all winter long.
What a great idea. I love that.
Well, we learned that from our neighbors, Carolyn and Constance, that we named the hens after.
Your chicken friends. And of the plants that you've grown, is there any plant that you feel like, oh, this has made a big difference on my health?
I have to say kale. Mm-hmm. I know you're going to think that's all I eat. And, you know, really, though, I feel like if that were my main vegetable, I'd do so well.
Well, and actually, there's so much behind that. So if we think about... In the nutrition world, there's this idea of eating a rainbow of colors every day.
Mm-hmm.
And that deep, dark color of kale, what it does is it covers up all those other colors.
Right.
You know, so that dark green, underneath that, there's red and orange and yellow. So really, you are getting a rainbow. It's like how leaves change colors in the fall.
Right.
You know, that's the way it is with kale. So I think that, I mean, really, you probably could just eat kale as your vegetable and be completely fine.
I think I could.
And what are ways that, I know that you mentioned that if Nora goes out and she cuts the kale and makes it into a salad, that then Carter will eat it. Any other ways, like when you do the dehydrating of the kale, do the kids like that too?
No, I sneak that into things. But that's like what you said about throwing nettles into things. I just crumble it up so you can't even tell what it is. And I throw it into soups or throw it into smoothies. They also will just pick carrots from the yard and eat those, and of course all the berries, and of course lettuce and chives.
And I wonder, so kale chips are kind of the hot thing right now.
Oh,
or at
yeah.
least, but also that shows my level of geekiness that I think of kale chips as the hot thing.
Oh no, they're totally the hot thing. you and I, Jennifer, we are so hip.
Very hip.
I can't believe it.
Obviously. So I wonder with the kids, you know, sometimes turning those kale chips into something really flavorful, You know, I wonder if then they would like them, because a lot of kids seem to be enjoying them if they have some really nice flavor.
Oh, they love the kale chips. Mm-hmm. And then all the friends run in from the street, and I just lift the parchment paper off the baking sheet, throw it in the middle of the table, and the kids just run around and gobble up these kale chips. It's amazing.
Oh, that's great. So, Dr. Oldfield, thank you so much for joining me today, and thank you for sharing your knowledge around urban farming, fresh food, and health. And I love that you really walk your talk, and you're just such a living example to the rest of us and your clients, and about even with a busy schedule, how to make this happen in your life. And I know you've really inspired me.
Well, I really appreciate it, because you've inspired me. When I first met you, it was when I took your seaweed harvesting class up in the San Juans, and, you know, you could walk around and identify everything and bend down and say, this is this herb or this is this, and just nibble it and show us how to make it into a salad later. So I've been inspired by your knowledge as well. So thank you so much for having me on today. It's really touched.
Well, it's really a pleasure. And so please join us next week for Passionate Nutrition Radio. We'll be talking about all of our incredible BIA machines, and that's bioelectrical impedance analysis. And these powerful tools give us a snapshot of health on a cellular level, which allows us to work with each of our clients and individualize what foods could be really beneficial. And Aaron Dudley will be joining me, and I know that we've got lots to talk about. And also just a quick reminder that I'll be at the Northwest Women's Show at the KKNW table tomorrow, Saturday from 1:30 to 2. So please stop by and say hello. And to learn more about Passionate Nutrition, please visit us at passionatenutrition.com or give us a call at 206-595-0376. Have a great week.
Oh, deep adventure. I tried to kick the